Governor Dennis Dugard says he will not push for Medicaid expansion in the 2017 legislative session. Now, local lawmakers are weighing in on what that means for South Dakota. Senator Billy Sutton is a Democrat from Burke. He's been an avid supporter of expanding Medicaid. You know, you've had a little while to think about the governor's decision. What's your response to the fact that Governor Dennis Dugard is not going to expand or not going to push for Medicaid expansion this year?
Well, that was my first reaction after the election, was Medicaid expansion probably wasn't going to happen. Obviously, it's with disappointment and deep sadness, because it's something that so many people have worked on, including our caucus for several years now, and then even the governor's office and many of his staff have worked very diligently on trying to move this forward. And so it's a combination of sadness and disappointment. But as I've said before, elections have consequences, and now we're in some pretty uncertain times, especially as it relates to health care for the working poor. And that's where my concern lies, is the folks that are, you know, out there working, they're just not making enough money to be able to afford health care. And that puts them in a really bad situation for so many reasons, whether it's the safety of their family if somebody gets sick, whether it's, you know, the fear of medical bankruptcy, whether it's the fear of having to decide whether they're going to try to buy health insurance somehow or put food on the table. Like, that's a decision that nobody should have to make. And this was a way to try to bridge that gap through Medicaid expansion. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. And we're in some pretty uncertain times. And so I understand why the governor did it. I greatly appreciate his hard work on trying to move it forward. But at some point, we're going to have to, as a society, take a stand for the working poor. And I don't know when that happens.
I remember when we first talked about this concept of Medicaid expansion and asking Governor Dugard why this isn't happening, why he said no. And I remember his response was, "I'm not saying never, I'm just saying not now." But it's been not now for a few years now.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we could have done this long ago when it first became available. And even at that time, I think it still made sense, because the economic impact of those federal dollars, studies showed that it would have paid for itself. And we would have, early on, we had 100% federal match, you know, so it would only cost our state a couple million dollars a year, but the economic impact of those dollars would have more than paid for it, and our state would have made money. We couldn't get, our counterparts on the other side of the aisle or the governor's office to agree to that, so we kept diligently working to try to find a South Dakota solution that our counterparts could agree with. And when we were able to bring, you know, CMS to the table and get them to agree to the policy change on the IHS reimbursement, that really opened up a whole new avenue that was viewed as a South Dakota solution. And you saw a lot of support from a lot of Republicans. That gave us so much hope that we could actually get this done, and we were so close. There was even talk of a special session this summer to get it done, and the votes just weren't there because people wanted to wait for the next election, which is really disheartening. Rather than take action, we waited for the next election, and this is the outcome of that election. And that creates a lot of uncertainty for folks that depend on us to do our job. And I think we've let a lot of South Dakotans down. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm very concerned.
What about that flip side to that argument where people say, well, good deal that we didn't expand Medicaid, because what if they repeal everything and then we wouldn't have financial support and then we would have all these people who had insurance but then would not, or the state would have to fund it? How do you respond to that part of the argument?
Sure, and that's a fair argument. I mean, but we wouldn't have been able to afford it. So we'd have had to, with our plan from the very beginning, there was a circuit breaker. So that was a very real possibility from the very beginning to say that look, you know, let's cover these folks. If it comes to a point where we can't afford it, then we have to remove ourselves from the program. And so that was a discussion item from the very beginning that even for the most part that I know of, Democrats supported the circuit breaker, that if we couldn't afford it and the federal government wasn't picking up their share, that we would remove ourselves from the program. And that would have been the same outcome. I don't think the federal government would have ever done that had we expanded. But now that there's a new administration and very real concerns that those states that did expand Medicaid, there's a question mark as to what the federal government's going to do. Are they going to remove funding for that and cut these people off of health care? I just think that wouldn't be right, but it's a very real possibility. And again, that's because elections have consequences. I mean, you're going to be kicking people off of health care that can't afford it on their own. They're working one or even two jobs. They're just not making enough money to make ends meet. And to kick them off of health care just isn't right, but that's the reality of this situation.
When you go back to Pierre in January for the session, I gather that you were really hoping that you'd be able to talk Medicaid expansion, and that's not part of the governor's plan. Is that still part of your plan?
I think we need to now move towards talking about what can we do as a state, what can we do as elected leaders to encourage our congressional delegates, and a lot is on especially Republican governors to appeal to President-elect Trump and his administration to figure out solutions to solving the lack of health care for the working poor. And as a state, we have to move forward on trying to figuring out how to get people out of poverty so that they can afford health care, and how we bring down the cost of health care. I mean, I know that there are discussions going on at the federal level about Medicaid funding as a whole, and there are potentially some major, major changes coming with how the federal government pays for these programs that are going to have huge impacts on our state budget. And I know there's talk about block grants and different caps and things like that that are going to have some pretty serious implications to our state budgets and so many state budgets. And so I think that we need to make sure that the federal government is doing its job as far as making sure that we're covering people that need coverage the most. Because if we don't, our problems are only going to continue to spiral out of control. We just cannot continue having people dying from not having health care coverage, people going to the emergency room when it's too late, where it's costing us all dearly in increased premiums and increased cost of health care. We're going to be in crisis mode here shortly if we weren't already. And I don't know that I have a great answer to you on what we're going to do about health care at the state level, but we need to continue working on it, and we can't just let this conversation stop.
With the tone of not planning to expand Medicaid, does this become a partisan issue when it was a place where you saw some state Republicans and state Democrats coming together? Or is that just not part of the equation?
I think it becomes a more broad discussion about how we move forward as a country on health care. That may mean that it gets more partisan than it has been of late. It may mean that our country heads in a pretty significantly different direction on health care? I don't know. I mean, we all know that there were problems with the Affordable Care Act. We know that. But they need to fix those problems, and our Congress has not been doing its job. They have not been working together to solve these solutions. Here in South Dakota, we've been trying to work together, and we're now limited on how we can do that. I'm even concerned about what this means for IHS. I'm concerned about whether or not they're going to continue the policy that the policy update they had about dual eligibles being paid for 100% by the federal government through what is viewed as treaty right, that the federal government covers 100% of the cost of our Native American care. And I just don't know where we go. I'll tell you this, that if in fact they stand by their policy of updating the IHS reimbursement for dual eligible Native Americans, that will save our state $60 to $70 million potentially. And if that's the case, if we see those savings to our state budget, I know that myself and many others will want to figure out ways to put those dollars to use to find out ways to have health care coverage for the working poor, or at least a portion of them. Because if we see a $70 million boon to our general budget, and that just gets socked away to other programs that don't involve health care, I'm going to be very disappointed. And so there's just a lot of unknowns right now, but that would be money that we could use to put towards figuring out ways to cover people that can't afford coverage on their own.
This is a substantial topic. It has broad-ranging consequences and challenges. Some people would say advantages. What have I missed?
What I think the main thing is that people need to know that by folks in poverty or at the poverty level or even just above the poverty level can't afford health care on their own. When you take a look at the cost of living and the cost of whether it's paying rent or paying your mortgage or putting food on the table, when you're making $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 as an individual, or even if you're making a family of four making $24,000, that does not pay the bills, and it does not give you the option of buying health insurance in our current system. And that's why you have programs like Medicaid that cover those folks, because if they don't have coverage, they are at risk of having to file bankruptcy if they get sick. Again, having to decide whether they're going to try to get health insurance or put food on the table. And to put people in that position is just not right. It's not right as a country. It's not right as a society. And it's not as easy as just snapping your fingers and saying, oh, well, I'll just get a better job so I get paid more. That's not possible for a lot of people. And it's not possible for a number of reasons, whether maybe they don't have the education to go to a different job, or they're limited into where they live and the socioeconomic issues surrounding them. It's just not good as a society to not try to figure out ways to find health care coverage and safety nets for the working poor. Because these are the folks that are most at risk, and they're also the ones that are in the middle class that are so integral to our success as a country and so integral to our success in our economy. And we need to make sure that we're doing our jobs as elected leaders to make sure that those safety nets cover the people that need it the most. And we're not doing that right now. We're not doing that as a country if we roll back some of the things that create those protections. And so I'm very concerned about the direction we're heading. And I just hope that our political leaders will have courage to do what's right and to fight for the people, because these folks' voice is not being heard right now.
Senator Billy Sutton is the Democratic minority leader in the State Senate of South Dakota. Thanks so much today.
Thank you.